Welcome one and all to Talk About It, a podcast by teens for teens, giving teens a platform to discuss the issues that matter to them. Be mental health, music, social issues, sports, anxiety, COVID-19, and so much more. My name is Amelie, the host of this show, and I invite you to settle in to what I think will be a very exciting episode of Talk About It. Welcome everybody to Talk About It with me, your host, Amelie. I hope you're all keeping well and having a wonderful weekend so far. The sun is shining. I am absolutely delighted here looking out my bedroom window recording this for you all. So yes, I hope you're all keeping well and safe in these crazy times. And in the spirit of keeping safe, and before I launch into my interview this week with Sean Flanagan, I want to let you all know that May is Mental Health Month. And mental health is something that is very, very important in my podcast. It's one of the main reasons why I even started this podcast, was to promote mental health and to help erase the stigma surrounding it. So May is a big, big month to promote that. And I really just want to say a huge thank you to Sean for coming on and being so open and honest in my discussion with him. I really, really appreciate it, and I had such a lovely time talking to him. Of course, if you are listening to this episode and you think that you would like to come on and have a talk with me, it doesn't even have to be about mental health. It can just be about how you're feeling, how's the world treating you, you know, what struggles we go through as teens. There's so much that we need to discuss and talk about that we aren't doing already. So to take those steps is scary. Like, I understand talking about my own mental health sometimes. I don't like doing it, but it's something that has to be done, and it's something that has to be normalized. So I hope what you take away from this episode is the sense that you are not alone. You are never alone. There is always someone to talk to. You can talk to me, reach out to me on my Instagram page at @talkaboutpodcast. There are always people who love you and support you, and you are never alone. And that's really the biggest thing I want to get across from these next few interviews that I will be releasing. So yes, mental health is so important. Talking about it is so important. It needs to be normalized. So without further ado, let's get you introduced to this week's Young Musician of the Week. Padraig Cottle is this week's Young Musician of the Week, and I'll be playing a song of his called I Just Need Time to Miss You. It is such a beautiful song. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to it and to hear what you think of it. If you want to go and follow Padraig on any social media platforms, you can go follow him on his Instagram page, Padraig_Cottle_music. And he also has a TikTok page, and you can follow him, Padraig Cottle, on TikTok. And his links will be in my own Instagram page @talkaboutapodcast, which you can go and check out, of course, after you listen to this brand new episode. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy it. Padraig is such a fantastic singer. Can't wait to hear more of his music. This is it, I Just Need Time to Miss You by Padraig Cottle.
We're sat in the park, your head resting on my shoulder, listing off all the girls that know you at your school. I said we need to talk, but I don't know what to say to you, thinking I don't wanna do this anymore. so I shut my mouth and I write it down and hide it in my bedroom drawer. And oh, she calls me, oh, she wants to know if my heart goes where she goes. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We fell in love, we fell too soon. Back in my house, feels like there's something missing. Smell of your perfume still in my room, and I can't get it out. You're stuck in my head, still spinning. All the love you have given, I can't ignore. So I shut my mouth and I write it down. Now I can't hurt you anymore. And oh, she calls me, oh, she wants to know if my heart goes where she goes. I just need time to miss you.
So I am delighted to be joined today by Sean Flanagan, who has his own TikTok page, and he's just reached 150,000 followers on his TikTok page. Well, Sean, thank you so much for joining me, first of all. And how are you keeping?
I'm keeping very, very well. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for asking. So I suppose the first question I better start by asking you is, how did you start your TikTok page? Because I came across you about a month ago and I've watched, I think, all of your videos since.
So yeah, my journey on TikTok actually has not been a long one whatsoever. I still remember to this day, from the 1st of February, so just this year, so it's only basically just over 3 months ago or so, I began TikTok. I always, you know, the Snapchat private stories?
Yes.
So I had a private story on Snapchat and I used to always be hawking out of it. Like, I'd post absolutely everything onto it, doing similar type speeches, of course, not with the dramatic background music or the subtitles or anything. Yeah. But it used to get a lot of feedback, and I'd always been like a rather popular person, so I did tend to have quite a lot of people in that private story. And there was a specific group of girls in particular, five girls that I won't name because they'll probably kill me if I do, But there was five girls in particular that were always very, very supportive. And they'd always send me messages like, "Your voice needs to be heard," or "There's so many people that need to hear what you have to say." And then there was one specific girl on TikTok who I also won't mention. I was only on the phone with her the other night. But she actually made me realize that there was a market there for my attitude towards life, for my positivity that I kind of do have. And it was just the whole idea of being able to make people's day that little bit easier. And that's still, since the day I started TikTok, it's still in my bio. It's just something that really, really encouraged me. And I knew after those girls that kind of contacted me and let me know, like, "You need to be heard," I just kind of grew the courage to kind of do something. And within just over 3 months, I've quite a sufficient amount of followers, you could say.
A huge amount of followers. It's amazing. I didn't realize you were on for such a short amount of time. That is unbelievable. And you said in your bio as well, what really interested me was you said you were a human antidepressant. Can I ask what you meant by that? Because I'd never heard that before.
So the name, one of my very good friends that I've actually met through TikTok, Larkin Mills, Mills DJ on TikTok. He's a lovely, lovely fella. So I'll give him a shout out. I'm sure he'd be delighted to hear that. But I joined one of his lives one night, and of all the compliments I've received in the world, I've never had someone refer to me as a human antidepressant. And whenever, just as soon as you referred to me as that, it was like my smile was up to my ears. Like, I'd never ever heard anything like it. It was one of the best compliments I've ever received. And I said to him, I was like, "That has to go into my bio." And I know some of my friends, they'll be listening to this and they'll be cringing and they'll be saying, "No one calls you that. No one calls you that." But yeah, I used to always be that person that will go to parties. And actually, I've actually found I've kind of lost that over the past year or so, whether it be just their inability to actually go out during the times that we're in and communicate with people. But I've lost that energy just a little bit. So it's something I'm trying to work on recently. But I was always that person that you're up with and always dancing, always just basically radiating good energy and someone you'd really want to surround yourself with. But yeah, that's how the name was actually initiated and kind of created, was through one of my good mates.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because when I saw it on your bio, I had never heard it before, and I just thought it was such an interesting, way to look at it. So you said as well for COVID, beforehand, you're very outgoing and went to a lot of parties, whatever. And you said that's changed during COVID. And has that impacted your mental health as well? Just not going out as much or COVID in general?
To be honest, I've always kind of been someone, I'm very open about the fact over on TikTok that I actually don't and never have experienced any form of mental illness. And I think when people kind of create the content that I create, it really is because they've either been through that themselves or are crying for help. And I remember actually when I did initially start creating these videos, my brother had contacted me and he said, like, "I understand that, like, when people kind of make the videos that they do, they're more so struggling themselves." And he kind of got a bit concerned. But I think what makes me stand out to every other person is that I actually haven't experienced that myself. Not to mention how young I am. I'm only 18, of course. I think people question how I understand how it feels to feel that way despite not experiencing it myself. But as for COVID and has it affected me, I think obviously in Ireland now, we're both in the same similar circumstances. We've been through, this is our third lockdown now. It's been a very, very long one. The first one wasn't too bad. I was actually going through my leaving cert at that point in time, obviously received the calculated grades, and it didn't actually affect me mentally whatsoever. I was having a really, like, I was always waking up with a smile on my face. But then I came into the second one, kind of undergoing some personal attachment issues. That kind of really, really did affect me for 3 or 4 months. And I think if I did have that social aspect, that definitely would have kind of helped me in a way to get back on track. So that was definitely a difficult time. And then the past couple of months or so, I found it's very strange, and I'm still kind of adapting to it, that I was always the happy person. I'd always wake up and there was always a smile on my face. And I find now when I used to speak to people, they'd be like, "Oh, you have your good days, you have your bad days." And I really struggled to comprehend that because I didn't. And now I'm really beginning to understand how mentally it can fluctuate from having good days and having bad days. And I actually made a video last night, very, very deep. It was definitely one of the deepest videos I've ever made. It was just kind of when you're upset, but you can't pinpoint exactly why you are and why that's so kind of difficult. Because then you can't, when you can't identify the issue, you don't know what's wrong and you can't kind of do anything to change it. But yeah, the past, as for COVID, like I said, the first lockdown was absolutely fine. Second was very difficult, where the social aspect definitely could have helped me and aided me to kind of recover. But then, yeah, now I'm kind of in this phase where I fluctuate from day to day and just kind of be grateful for what I have in these times.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we've all learned to be a bit great more grateful for what we have. And I did see your video last night, and yeah, definitely did. I definitely teared up watching because it's so true. And I did have those days in lockdown where I just thought, oh God, this is gonna go on forever. I just really didn't think, the lockdown would end. And like you said, I couldn't pinpoint why I was feeling like that. And I think so many people, yeah, like you said, just did relate to that. And can I ask why you make videos so deep as that? Like why? And you said as well you never went through a mental illness yourself, but why did you start making them?
I think it's just like I said, the idea of being able to make people's lives that little bit easier. Me myself, not experiencing mental illness, it's a very hard thing to make videos on, and I do tend to actually avoid making videos on depression or anxiety or say BPD or OCD or any of these mental illnesses, because I think if you haven't experienced it yourself, it's a very, very difficult thing to be able to comprehend how that feels. So I've always said I don't help people cope with depression, but like depression's probably, in terms of a mental illness, it's probably the one I take most interest in, and anxiety as well, because it's just basically the way in which you think. I think for depression, I don't teach people how to cope with it. I teach people who don't have it help cope people help to cope with people that do. And I find nowadays people just don't have the emotional capacity to be able to deal with people that do have mental health issues. And I find I was one of the people that do. I've always kind of been that empathetic, very compassionate person. And I find as if because I don't suffer with mental illness myself, it's almost as if I feel obligated to help people that do, because I think it's just a really, really, really nice way. Just being kind. It's a very, very nice way to just be able to remind people that there genuinely is love to be found in this world.
Yeah, definitely. And that's been a question I've been asked myself when I started this podcast, because I started it because two teens in my local area had taken their own lives in the space of a month. So I didn't know them personally, and but I was impacted by it. And a lot of the girls I went to school with were impacted by it. So when I started this podcast, someone actually asked me, she was like, are you doing okay? I said, yeah, I am. I like sincerely am. But I just wanted, like you said, to have people talk about mental health, because even afterwards, I found people just were avoiding the subject. They weren't talking about it as much as they should. So it's lovely to hear you say that as well. Yeah, to talk about mental health, it's so important. And in what ways do you think can we start talking about it more?
I think when it comes to mental illness, and particularly like me being a man, is something you wouldn't be able to understand,
No.
obviously, due to obvious reasons.
No.
But mental health needs to be destigmatized. It is a massive, probably the biggest country, like it's the biggest contributor to society nowadays, if you wish. And I just find it so, so important. And there's so many people nowadays that struggle with it. And nobody seems to understand. And it's one of those things that you can literally hide. I'm actually going to get quite personal now, something I don't really typically do. I don't really get vulnerable on my TikTok. But for me, growing up, I always felt as if I could never have people to speak to and never talk about my problems to. And this is coming from someone that didn't even suffer badly. So I can only imagine the people that do I can only imagine how difficult it is for them. And when you look at my background, you have my mom who has a master's in coaching and development. You have my brother who's a nurse, so he's more than capable of being able to kind of help people through mental difficulty. It makes you question, of all people that would be in a position to talk about their struggles, it would be me. And I don't know if this is just something that was genetically inherited. I don't know whether it's this societal expectation with males nowadays where we feel as if we have to mask our emotion because we'll be depicted as people who are, weak or frail or feminine. But it's such an important aspect of society. And I think nowadays we find so many podcasts talking about it, and it's people like myself and like yourself as well who do make people's lives easier. And it's such an important way. And as for how we can actually improve it and get people talking, I think it's just by talking ourselves and normalizing it through our own speech.
Yeah. And that's, well, thank you for being like so open, because
That's
that
no
is
problem.
like, well, no, it is. It's what the podcast is all about, having people on, having people discuss their own mental health journey, their own struggles. And you said for obvious, like you said, I obviously don't know how men's mental health is to women's. It's very, very different. So
Yeah.
can you just maybe describe a little bit more about men's mental health and how you feel it differs from women's and how it's looked at?
I think it's just the way in which people are portrayed if they do struggle. So I think women's mental health, and this isn't to disregard women or say they're in any way not entitled to struggle. Of course they are. But the stigma around males' mental health is nowhere near as big as the stigma around women, because women, they're allowed, like, they're not seen as weak people if they cry or if they go through difficult times. But then you find if there's men that do, it's, oh God, like, why is he feeling like that? Like, why is he crying? Man up. And it's all these things that really do, I don't know, they just kind of disregard how we feel. And that's one thing that me as a man, I really, really want to promote, that you are not weak if you feel upset from time to time. It is literally part of human conditioning to struggle from time to time. And I think, as like speaking to a woman yourself, I think advice that I would give to women is to not wait and respond when a man comes to you with mental health issues. Like, typically for me, when I do go through a difficult time, I actually tend to go and, in a way, vent and confide in women because I feel they're very, very understanding. But I have often had times where I've gone to women and they've maybe, in a way, just kind of gave me generic advice that wasn't really helpful at the time. And it's not really about listening to someone to respond to them and give them advice, but more so just listening to understand. And I think for women nowadays, it's such an important thing that you need to do. It's just, if a man comes to you and he really is struggling, don't try give him advice. Just be that shoulder to cry on and be there to understand how he feels.
Yeah, that's amazing. That was going to be my next question as well. Yeah, because I don't have I have more girlfriends than lad friends, and anybody who knows me would know that. But you know, I have, because of my podcast, started to know more people of different backgrounds and who are more guys than girls. And you know, to hear that is great to know. And I hope people take that on board. But you said generic advice you were given. What was, can I ask, what was that generic advice and what to avoid?
Yeah, of course you can. So I won't go kind of too personally as to what people have said to me, because then they're going to feel as if I'm baiting them out in a sense.
No, of
But I
course.
find in the greater scheme of life, so just in generic terms, when someone who really, really suffers comes to you, and I made a video on this myself, take if you're dealing with someone that has depression, for example. And you go to them and they're really, really struggling, and you say to them, we can offer them generic advice. Like, it's typically the cliche phrase. It's like, everything's going to be okay one day. Everything's going to happen for a reason. And although that's true, of course it is, things do get better with time. Time literally heals everything. We need to start offering present day solutions. So things that can actually happen right now. And that could be things along the lines of, your feelings are valid. So we need to validate people. You can say things like, you don't have to go through this by yourself. Or although I feel as if you are definitely strong enough to get through this by yourself, I will be there with you every single step of the way. So it's not about offering generic advice, because people who are struggling to the extent that people with any form of mental illness are, they're not even looking towards the future. They're not looking towards tomorrow. They're just trying to get through today. So you need to give them present day solutions. And that can be validating how they feel and letting them know that they do not have to go through what they are going through by themselves, and that you will be with them every step of the way.
Definitely. I love that so much. And you say that in your videos as well. You do you emphasize the point of validation and to understand and to support people in every way. And how do you know what you're going to say on your videos? Because you speak so well on them, and anybody who goes and listens to them, which I really hope they do, will understand that you do speak really, really well on that. So how do you know what messages to put across?
So what people don't understand is they see probably 2 or 3 60-second clips. Maybe if I'm not having a great day myself, they might only see one video. Because I'm really about practicing what I preach. And if I'm not in a position where I can actually make a video to help people because I'm not helping myself, I won't make one. And there's only ever been one day now over the past 3 or so months that I didn't post, and it's because I just didn't go. It wasn't a nice day for me whatsoever. But people don't see behind the scenes what really goes in. They don't see phone calls that I have with friends where they come to me and they vent. So typically, a lot of my actual video ideas come off when I'm on the phone to people and they're expressing how they feel. And this is how I've actually gathered the knowledge that I do have. It's through helping other people. And that's not to say I haven't, personally experienced hardship. Of course I have. There's been personal experience. There's been times that, I've felt as if I've lacked a lot of self-love and a lot of self-confidence, and it's something that I continue to build on. But the majority of what I know is through second-hand experience. And that's what I refer to as helping other people. So if they come to me and they have an issue, I sit there and I give them advice. But when someone, and it's very important in terms of relationships, when someone comes to you with an issue and they express how they feel, what I have learned from that is that they're telling me how they feel based off of their emotion that they're feeling. So with that, it is basically showing me how humans process emotion when feelings are involved. And when I like I said, I haven't been in some, well, in some cases I have, but the majority of the times that people have come to me, I haven't experienced those issues myself. But what that has allowed me to do is understand how humans process emotion. So then when I find myself in that situation, I kind of have that ability, that neutral perspective where I can pull myself out of my own shoes, take that step back, and say to myself, right, Sean, if you were giving advice to someone, how would you go about doing this? And that now, through all that experience and through helping other people, has allowed me to understand how people feel. So when I find myself in that situation myself, then I can kind of take a step back and go about it as if it wasn't me in that situation, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And do you find it easy to take a step back and to take your own advice? Or would you struggle with that?
Now, that's a tough one. Yes, I definitely do. And I was actually on the phone to one of my very, very, very good friends, and I must say I don't know if I mentioned or not. She'll probably hate me if I do. But I cannot express my gratitude for it. She's such a kind individual. But I was basically talking to her last night, and there's just something about people telling you what you know. Despite you already knowing it, it's that reassurance that really makes you feel something. So this girl came to me about a personal issue that I won't get into, just for my own sake. But she came to me and she gave me advice that I already knew, but still needed to hear. And that's why the power of talking about mental health. Yes, we can all say the same things, but if it's kind of that unity in a sense, where if we all consistently normalize it, it will just get that little bit easier. But as for taking my own advice, yeah, it's definitely something that I struggle to do. But then also do go out of my way. I think it's more so creating these false realities and wishing that something was different than it was, and kind of seeing people for the potential that I see in them, and as opposed to seeing them for who they actually are based off of what they've shown me. So I think just when you're an empath, you really do tend to see the good in people. And that for me then has, that's what I continue to see. But after a period of time, I find I definitely do take my own advice, but not as quickly as I wish I did.
Yeah, I think that's understandable for everybody, but I just wanted to ask to see, if you did. And you mentioned before that you only make videos when you really, really are in a good place to make them. And I think that's a
Yes.
fantastic thing to do. It's like for me when I make the podcast as well, some days I just don't want to sit down in front of the mic and start recording. But, and that is all about taking care of yourself. That is all about, yeah, like you said, taking that step back. But how do you practice self-love and looking after yourself? Because it's something that a lot of people have are struggling with COVID, and it's something myself as well, taking that step back to mind myself. How do you do it?
Yes. So, in the context of self-love, I think it comes in three different ways. It can come from a mentality perspective. It can come from a physical perspective, and then it can come from someone who is really, really in a dark space and really, really in negative thoughts. So, as for the person in dark space, that's where I'll start. I think in order to genuinely love yourself, if you're living with a mental illness, you really need to understand and grasp the concept that you have to believe. It's your belief system, and you have to genuinely believe that your life is worth living. And this is regardless of, this is getting really deep, by
Oh no, this is what
the
the podcast is all about. This is brilliant.
way. This is regardless of how bad your day was, or regardless of what you're going through, or regardless of how bad things seem. You have to genuinely believe your life is worth living. And when you do believe that and you've got your belief system in check, that's when you can then start taking action towards a better future. And when I say taking action, I mean talking out, speaking to a friend, speaking to a family member, seeking advice, or maybe even arranging some therapy sessions. Because when you do that, you will improve. And things will get easier. So, as for a person who's living in a really, really dark space, it's your belief system. Then, when it comes to actual physical appearance, self-love, I see as something where you embrace your perfection. So many people now would, or sorry, did I say perfection or imperfection? I meant imperfection,
Okay.
where you embrace your imperfection. Sorry. But yeah, so many people are seeking perfection nowadays, and that's never going to happen. Every single person has insecurities, they have imperfections, they have things they don't love about themselves. But when you can genuinely kind of just understand that the things that make you unique, and the things that make you, and the things that make you stand out from other people, that is actually what makes you perfect. So I think self-love in terms of physical appearance is by understanding that you're not perfect and that you do have things that you're not going to love about yourself, but you can actually fall in love with. And they don't have to be things that you love. You can fall in love with being imperfect. And I think one of my favorite quotes, I've seen it in Vex King. He's a, I don't know what he is, but it was he's an author, of course, but it was in the book Good Vibes, Good Life. Is that we are constantly trying to be perfect in a world that only wishes to remind us of how imperfect we are. So that I'll let that sink for just a minute or two.
Yeah,
That's a very, very powerful quote.
it
And then
is.
as for self-love in terms of mentality, I think self-love can only be developed through self-confidence. And I think I view self-confidence, and I've seen this somewhere else, but I view self-confidence as just being the inner reputation that you have with yourself. And if you can genuinely trust who you are, well, then you are going to develop self-confidence. But self-confidence can only be developed if you continue to keep the promises that you make to yourself. And if we continue to maybe write down five attainable goals in the morning, and we actually, and that's the key, attainable things that we can actually do. If we can kind of abide by them and get them done, that will build self-confidence over time. And if we are building our inner reputation, we then become a lot less concerned about the reputation that we have with other people and what other people are saying. So someone who comes to me and says they lack self-confidence, I see that as someone who basically isn't keeping promises that they make to themselves. And if you genuinely just don't really have self-confidence, and you're more so concerned about what people think about you, I think it's really just because you don't think greatly of yourself. So self-love can only be developed through self-confidence. And self-confidence can only be developed if you continue to keep the promises that you make to yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing. And just to go back there on what you said about perfection, I absolutely hate the word perfect. I despise it. I really do. I really do. I don't think there is any such a thing as perfect. There really isn't. So to hear you say that, I have heard that quote before, and it is actually one of my favorites. And you know, it is so true. And in a world where we're expected to be perfect, especially, I won't say especially for girls, but when it comes to body image for girls, it's a big thing. It really
100%.
is. You have to have that image of, you know, you have to wear this and you have to look like that. It's a big thing. And yeah, it's, yeah, to hear you say that is great. But to have that self-confidence body wise, I know I'm kind of veering off in a different direction here, but body image for males, do you feel like it's a part of your self-confidence? Like it's something that not you, maybe not you personally, but for a lot of males, is it something that lowers your self-confidence?
To be honest, I think now that you've mentioned how like the massive impact the beauty standard nowadays for women is shocking. It
100%.
really is. It's and it's something I really do incur. It's just not right whatsoever. So I think in terms of physical, like if we were to kind of compare physical with mental, mentally the struggle is with men. Physically, there's very little struggle with men. Very little. I think it's all to do with women and that beauty standard that we see to be present in the 21st century. It really is. It's shocking. And any girl listening, I genuinely do like don't kind of fall into this whole social media. And because social media and actual life are two completely different things. The person you see on social media with me, and when I record videos, I go really, really in depth and I go really, really deep. And then you see me on my lives and you're like, oh my God, like this guy's a completely different person. Like he's smiling all the time, he's happy all the time. Like that's people struggle to believe it. And that's a perfect explanation. Now, being deep is really, really something that's within me and something that I actually genuinely love having deep conversations at 3 a.m. or so. But yeah, as for actual male body image, it's something that I've not necessarily struggled with because I think what stimulates men and body image is actually heartbreak. So if they go through a difficult time with a man or a woman, whatever whatever your preference is, it can be very difficult, and you lose a lot of self-confidence if someone breaks your heart. And that really kind of gives you that drive and that motivation to maybe hit the gym and get those big biceps and get that chest open and that wide V taper. But as for me, it's just never something that I've really struggled with, but only really because, not to be in any way big-headed, but I do have a rather impressive figure. But I don't really think body image is too big. But then speaking from personal experience, I know a lot of people that do tend to struggle, but just in my own personal experience, because I can't really resonate with those people. But as for women, I think it's shocking. I really do.
Now, well, it's good to hear, you know, you say that it's not as big of a thing for men. I know, of course, men still struggle with it, and you said that yourself, and that
Of
is, you
course,
know,
of course.
something that I would love to get into in a later episode, about body image, because it's such a huge, huge topic.
Massive.
Yeah. So yeah, to hear you saying that is great. But can I ask you something? If
if someone is listening here and they are struggling with their mental health, what would you say to them, first of all?
Look, we discussed this earlier. I can sit here and I can ask people and I can give advice and I can, that basically everyone has heard before. Like, everything happens for a reason or everything's going to be okay one day. And as I said, although that is true previously, of course, please allow yourself to feel upset. Yeah. I don't encourage false positivity. If you need to cry, you let it out. If you need to scream, you scream. Because I've always said that if you genuinely do want to be a positive person, and if you want to be someone who wakes up with a smile on their face every single morning, well, then you need to master your emotion. And part of mastering your emotion, I love this, part of mastering your emotion, it's not by suppressing how you feel. It's not by isolating yourself. It's not by kind of disconnecting from friends and family, but it's actually by being accepting but being understanding of why you feel the way that you do. So allow yourself to feel upset. Don't just disregard how you feel, because all that really does is creates this consistent accumulation, if you wish, of emotion that is bound to just explode one day. And you can take that from me, because as I said previously, growing up, I felt as if I could never talk to people. And whether that was something that was inherited or perhaps just being a man, we'll never know. But please, the moment you speak out is the moment that you've acted towards a better future, and the moment your life will begin to just get that little bit easier, because you are loved like beyond your belief. And you have people that are more than willing to sit there and listen to what you have to say. And people seem to forget that there is literal professionals that are employed for the sole purpose of helping you. So just please, if you're to take one thing from today, just don't be afraid to talk about your problems.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just to go back there, you have mentioned it earlier, but has that changed you feeling like you couldn't talk to anybody? Has that changed because you started your TikTok or even earlier, that you can reach out to people now, that there is options open there?
Yes. So, as I said, because I always felt growing up, and as I mentioned previously, with my background, there was no reason for me to feel that way. But because I did, I now want to show people that you do have people that are willing to listen to what you have to say. And there's something that I've seen, and obviously today being a massive day, being darkness into light, of course. Yeah. It's just so, so, so important to talk. Like, as I said just there a minute ago, like, the moment you do actually speak is the moment your life begins to get that little bit easier. It's that phrase, what is it? A problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah.
It makes life so much easier, because when you're in your head and, you know, your thoughts are racing at 100 miles an hour, you need someone to speak to, because the moment you do speak, and even if it's just to yourself, and I don't mean subconsciously, I mean actually verbally speaking, whether you take out your phone and, you know, you take a video of yourself talking, or you get out an A4 piece of paper and you start writing down your thoughts, let it get out of your brain, because you are just going to basically create this constant cycle where you overthink, and then you begin to overthink what you're overthinking, and then you begin to overthink what you're overthinking again.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a repetitive cycle, and it's all just creating false reality, because 90%, this is psychologically proven, 90% of your thoughts, they don't even exist. They never happen. And that's why it's so important. If you do genuinely struggle, and I'm a massive overthinker, can I just say, so anyone who's listening, yeah, they're not alone. They're not alone in that sense. But get talking. Because when you do, and you get all this stuff out of your head and off your chest, in a sense, it basically causes your thoughts to slow down. Because if you're talking, you can't be thinking at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just allows your brain then to process emotion in a way that you're not typically used to. So that's what I find. If you genuinely speak and get all that stuff off your chest, it allows you to actually process emotion in a way that you've never processed before.
Yeah.
And it just causes your thoughts to slow down.
No, definitely. And I'm so happy you said you're overthinking, because I am as well.
I'm a huge,
oh
really
my god,
bad.
Yeah, same here. And it's something I have been working on over COVID, to just stop and just to, you know, slow down. And like you said, the way I've been doing that is, I used to absolutely hate the sound of my own voice. I couldn't even stand, you know, doing that. And then I got the podcast and I realized that I had to edit myself talking. And if the first month, it was just a nightmare. I absolutely hated doing it. But then I realized, the more and more I listened to myself, the more I realized that I was actually stopping the way I was overthinking. Like, it slowed me right down. And that has helped me through writing as well. I have never written so much. Just to stop my overthinking, whatever is going on in my head, it was down on the paper. And, you know, that is really good advice, that, you know, stopping to realize that it is going to be okay. And it is, I don't think when you start talking, it's maybe not as bad as you overthink it is. Do you find that?
Yes, definitely. Our brains, once again, coming at you with a psychological fact, yeah. Our brains are actually psychologically programmed to give weight to negative experience. So just to give you an example, if I was to go onto Amazon, right, and God, what am I buying? LED lights. Okay, I'm buying LED lights to make my room perfect for some emotional TikToks, if you wish.
Yeah.
And I go onto Amazon and I see there's 50 reviews and it's 48 five stars, but then there's 2 1-star reviews, and this could be because, I don't know, faulty product, it could be lighting wasn't sufficient, anything. I will not buy that product just because there's been 2 negative reviews. But I just haven't paid any attention whatsoever to the 48. The 48. So realistically, if you do it statistically, a sample of 50 people, 2 negative reviews, you have a 4% chance of getting a bad LED light. But still, like, the odds are in my favor and I choose to not buy them. And then if I'm at, say, hopefully in the future, you know, if one of my best friends decides to be kind enough to honor me of best man and I'm giving a speech, for the first 10 minutes of that speech, I could have everyone laughing, everyone having a good time. And then all of a sudden I hit this roadblock. I have this brain fart, if you wish, and I forget. I lose my train of thought. Instantly I'm thinking, right, there's a 5-second silence. People are looking at me, you know, they're thinking, oh God, he's messed this up. But realistically, if you think about it like this, when has anyone ever attended something where they hoped the person basically doing the public speech was bad? You don't buy tickets to a concert hoping that the person messes up. You know, you don't attend public speeches. You don't go watch Gary Vee or something because you hope you make the mistake. You go because you're genuinely interested in what they have to say and you want to see them do well. But instantly, just because I've lost my train of thought and I've messed up for five or six seconds, despite literally acing and you know, doing really, really well in the first 10 minutes, all of a sudden, everyone's against me. And that's never the case. And that's basically just the way in which your brain works. You are programmed to give way to negative experience, even if there's so many positives to take.
Yeah, so how do you see the positive, can I ask?
It's to do with how you need to reprogram your brain. You need to retrain your brain. And through positive psychology, there are so many things that we can do that basically will make us feel good about ourselves. Gratitude is one of the most important things. It's literally having an A4 journal and writing down every single day the things that you're grateful for. You know, the things that have made you smile. One thing that I love to do, actually, it's a very interesting concept, and I don't actually tell people about this. So once again, you've really got me to talk about something that I've never spoken about before. One thing I like to do before I go to bed is I just take out my journal and I write down any of the emotions that I felt that day, whether it be happy, whether it be sad, whether it be anxious, whether it be frustrated. And then I think to myself, right, what was good? What can I take from today? And all of these positive experiences, I keep them. And then just before I close my eyes, any negative experience, the things that didn't make me feel so good, I let them go. So one thing I will say is that you should only retain for tomorrow what was good from today. And you wake up and you've got a smile on your face because you've only retained the things that made you feel good about yourself, and you've let all that negative emotion go. But it is a very, very difficult process. And it's so much so much easier said than done, but it is one that's possible. And, you know, some people are naturally born. I was actually studying something yesterday. It was about your positive emotion. And I think it was 40% of how you feel is trained and 50% actually genetic. So your happiness can actually be quite genetic as well. But it's just one of those things where you actually can reprogram the way in which you think, but it's all to do with your mindset. Your mindset is key. And I think it's so funny because, you know, growing up, I'm sure myself, I did anyway, I don't know about you, but, you know, my grandparents would come to me or my mom would come to me and be like, oh, your health is your wealth. And I'd sit there and I'd laugh at them like, no, it's not, would you stop? And as I've gotten older, it's so, so important, because if mentally you're not stable, you are literally not in a position to do anything that you want to have done, because then you have all these contributing factors where your mind is just playing tricks on you and you really can't get done anything as productively as you would have hoped. Your health genuinely is your wealth. And the sooner you realize that, the more you're going to start doing things to kind of, you know, help you think in a way that's positive.
Yeah, I had never heard anybody do that before. That's really, really interesting. In my family, what we do is we do top three moments of the day. So it could be as simple as, you know, I came home from school and our dog Teddy ran out to greet me first. Just the simple things. Or I had my favorite lunch today, or I went on a walk. Like, it doesn't have to be huge things. And when I said this to a friend recently, and she said, oh, well, I wouldn't know what to say. And I said, it's just the simple things. It really is, at the end of the day, to take that away and go, oh my God, I'm so, you know, blessed to have this. And everybody has their own way of being grateful. Everybody has their own way of taking the good from the day. So I hope somebody takes something away from what we've talked about here, because it is
100%. Even then, you find, like, with you talking about this, your family, you talk about three things that you would do good for the day. It's actually something my mom does to my sister before she goes to sleep, and it actually is something that could be very, very, very effective. If you say, if you're listening to this and you might have a young person, like, or a younger sibling, where, you know, you really want to kind of help them grow as people, so when they do get into those, like, adolescence years, maybe they're already being grateful. But for you to be surrounded in an environment where you're kind of already being trained to be grateful for the things that you have, like, you need to understand, people say, oh, I don't really, like, there's obviously going to be people that are like, oh, there's nothing that I'm grateful for. You have a warm bed, you're going to sleep with a roof over your head, you're already doing so much better than a lot of people already are. And that's the thing, it's the little things, whether it be, you know, personally, I don't drink coffee because my teeth are too precious. But, like, just even a nice coffee that you might have gotten Costa, or an Insomnia one of the mornings, just these little tiny, tiny things that we I think COVID has really shown us we've taken for granted. And it's one of those things I've said to my mates, I'm like, trust me, lads, and I'm not one of these people to say this if I didn't. After COVID and restrictions begin to ease and I can finally start doing things again, you will not hear the words no come out of my mouth.
Definitely. No, definitely. I have so many plans. Me and my friends do. My family do. I myself have so many plans to go and do stuff. I've literally signed up for everything in the next 3 months. I'm finished school at the end of May. And I don't think from the end of May until the 1st of September, I don't have something that I want to do every day. Like, it's just, and like you said, it's just doing that something and being grateful for what you do have instead of what you don't. So
definitely,
just to go back there a while ago, I asked you to give advice to somebody who was struggling with their own mental health. But if so, just to remind people, you're 18. You don't sound like you're 18 at all. You sound like somebody who's a lot older than that. But if you could go back a couple of years, what advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
Oh, that's a powerful question. That's a powerful question.
I love this question.
Don't be afraid to be who you are. I have found in my own personal experience, from me just being that little bit different, and bear in mind, I've always been one of those people growing up. I was one of the lads, you know, be at the parties, I'd be drinking, playing ball, all this type of stuff. But for me, just stepping out of my comfort zone and being just that little bit different, I'm actually a lot more respected than I was previously. So don't try to fit in. There's a quote, and it's a very, very cringy quote. It's very, very cringy. It's don't fit in when you were born to stand out, basically.
Yeah.
And anything that you do want to do, for me, my first TikTok video, I was petrified to post it, to see what people would have had to have said. And I think people are just now of the assumption that this man is going out of his way to make videos to try and make people's life that little bit easier. How can you hate this guy? And that's the thing. If you genuinely want to do something, you're not always going to have people on your side. And it's more so you need to really, really believe in yourself if you want to do something. Because when you believe in yourself, you can then expect people to believe in you. But nobody's going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. But in order to do something that you really want to do, and this is something that I'd say when I was 15, like, do it. Just do it. And the thing that stops us the most from actually doing it, I'd say you were the exact same before you did the podcast, was fear. And Will Smith said something along the lines of, the only, like, if you want to be great, you have to surpass fear. Like, greatness is beyond fear. That's in every aspect of life. Skydiving, you know, doing any of these things that really, really do make us feel some type of way that is so special. We have to be uncomfortable, and we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
No, definitely. And fear is definitely one thing that I think stops a lot of us from doing what we love doing. If I go back
100%.
to when I was in second year, it's about 3 years ago now, I had no confidence whatsoever. I hated speaking in front of people. So my mum signed me up for the debating team in the school. And I just did not want to do it, did not want to go. I protested against it, but I went anyway. And I ended up going to the national finals of debating. And it turned out to be something that I really loved, speaking in front of people. And it turned out to be something I was actually decent at. And, you know,
And now
it's,
you're hosting a
and now I'm hosting a podcast. So it just,
podcast.
so it just shows you like it, the fear. And, you know, it's all down to support as well, who's around you to support you. But a big thing is like
Yes.
stepping out of your way for fear. And it's a big thing that does stop everybody. At least once in their lives, I think.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So listen, we better wrap up. So I'll ask you my final two questions. So my first of the final two questions are, what quote do you live by? Now I know you've mentioned a few, so I'll give you time to think.
there really is. There's so many quotes that, you know, in different aspects of society are so important. But I just think, in the greater scheme of life, one of my favorite quotes, and I heard this about 6 months ago, it's about a bad day for the ego is a good day for the soul. So, as I said, I heard that about 6 or 7 months ago. When obviously, as I mentioned, I was going through a difficult time myself, and ever since I've heard that quote, it's completely changed the way in which I perceive my bad days. And yes, I do have them, you know, contrary to popular belief, I do. But to those who might be listening, and you might not necessarily understand what that means, it's essentially implying that everything is happening for your growth. And so often in life, we do go through hard times. You know, we experience hardship, whether it be grief or loss or heartbreak or withdrawal, or maybe something even as serious as mental illness. And we almost imagine as if this is just some huge setback. And although it, like, of course, is something that is in a sense hindering your progress, you should never really allow yourself to be consumed by that. And that one day, even after all those tears and, you know, the nights that you've lay in bed upset, one day you will look back and you'll say, wow, like, I really, really did need that to push me to another level of strength that I didn't even know myself that I had within me.
Yeah, and that's I had ooh, words. I had never heard of that one before I saw it on your story, and it is a good one.
Yes.
Okay, so my final question, I suppose, is what is one thing you want people to take away from this talk here today? We've mentioned so much, and I hope they take away a lot of things from this, but
yes,
if someone had to just take away one thing, what would that be for you?
In the context of mental health, it's what I refer to as the double A's. Okay, now some people might perceive that as something differently, but it's acknowledgement and then action. And I discussed this previously. Please, please, please allow yourself to feel upset if you are. If you need to cry, you cry. If you need to scream, you scream. If you need to be angry, you know, maybe punch a wall. But please just allow yourself to acknowledge. You know, disregard how you feel. Don't push those emotions under the rug. Because as I said, if you do, it's just going to continuously accumulate. And it's just going to make your life so much more difficult. An analogy that I love, and I'll just say this just to finish up, an analogy that I love. I don't know if you have younger siblings, but to anyone that does, I have two younger siblings. I compare your emotions to your younger siblings. If you think about it, there's been days where I've sat in bed, I've woken up at 9 a.m, and, you know, I've sat in bed all day till about 3 or 4. This was when I was my unproductive self, till about 3 or 4 in a day. And as soon as I decide, hang on, I want to get myself, I want to do something productive. I might go do a workout or I might go for a walk. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, in comes my 10-year-old sister. John, can we play a game? Can we play a game of catch? Can we play whatever it was that you wanted to play? And I'm seriously just sat there and I'm thinking to myself, you had 8 hours to come in and annoy me. And as soon as I want to do something productive with my life, mm-hmm. you're here. And you won't let me do it. But the most important thing is that she will not leave. She is not going to leave until I give her the attention that she deserves. Mm-hmm. So your emotions are just like your younger siblings. Because if you don't accept them as they arise and you don't give them the time and the care that they desire, they will haunt you and they will not leave you until you have dealt with them. So part of overcoming anything is to acknowledge that you are feeling that way. If you're depressed, you need to acknowledge that your thought patterns and the way in which you think, it's not okay. If you've an eating disorder, a very, very sensitive topic, you need to acknowledge that your eating habits are unhealthy. Because once you've acknowledged how you feel, you are then in a position where you can take action. And you're then in a position where you can actually start doing things towards bettering yourself and kind of living towards a better future. That's the most important thing. Please do not disregard how you feel. Because you are bound to struggle from time to time. As I said, it's part of human conditioning to do so. So allow yourself to feel struggle. Allow it to enter your body. Recognize it and then let it pass.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I actually do have a younger brother. And I'd never thought of that analogy before. And that really is amazing. So yeah, definitely something I will be taking away. Sean, thank you so much for coming on and being so open. I really, really do appreciate it. And I wish you all the best and every success with your TikTok page.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
And that is all for this week's episode. I would really appreciate it if you're listening on Apple Podcasts for you to leave a review, because that would help me so much. And I would really appreciate it if you would make my day. So if you can do that, much appreciated. And if you can't, that's okay. Thank you so much anyway for listening to the very end. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, wonderful week. And you keep safe and keep healthy. And I will talk to you all very soon. Keep safe, everybody.